This is Cortland Sutton, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and joining me today, probably the most recurring guest we've had on the podcast, up to nearly 500 episodes now, thousands of radio shows. You've probably heard this guy the most. His name is Ben Albright. You can find him on Twitter at AlbrightNFL. Nowadays, he's a big shot with the Denver Broncos, broadcasting live there for the Broncos radio, basically team radio from inside Broncos Stadium with iHeart. Also has some things coming up in the works that we'll keep under the hat for now and let Ben announce when they occur. But as always, Ben doing big shit. Ben, what the hell's going on, brother?
Yeah, it's good to be back, dude. It's good to see your face.
Yeah, man, for sure. And did I mention it's at Albright NFL on Twitter? So that's at AlbrightNFL, and go follow him there, and probably unfollow him there. And then unfollow him as soon as he starts talking shit. Ben, all right. So there's a million things I got to ask you, man. For one, man, I'm tilted. It's the first time I don't think I ran into you at the Senior Bowl or the Combine or anything like that. Were you just there, just kind of doing stuff with the teams and stuff? You weren't hanging out with us plebs in the media or what?
Man, yeah, kind of. I mean, like, I felt bad because there's so many people I didn't see. I got out and about a little bit for the Senior Bowl, but Combine, you know, we were kind of busy. Like, Ryan and I were just kind of busy for the whole thing. And, you know, we get out for dinner and see people, but that was about it. So, and then, you know, you get out to Prime and it's like 2 a.m. So, you know how it is. So, like, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, I just, you know, it's not, it was a busy year.
If I'd have seen you at Prime, I might not have remembered anyway, right?
I might not have remembered either. We might have been hanging out the whole time. Who knows?
Right.
You could be lying to the audience right now.
Everybody's got to know Ben. I mean, I got to ask you about Russ and stuff. But first, like, I mean, this is a fantasy football show first and foremost. Like, what do you think about Melvin Gordon? Do you think – I mean, there was George Payton at the owners' meetings, you know, saying basically the same thing he said whenever I asked at the Combine – about Melvin Gordon, saying like, hey, we'd like to have him back. It just sure feels like, to me, it felt like if it was going to be another year where there was going to be quarterback purgatory and stuff, and they would have to lean a ton more on the run game, my just outside view was like, maybe then it would be a lot more likely that they would be able to bring back Melvin Gordon. They would have the extra money. They would have the run first philosophy, and they would like to have those two guys. It feels like with Russell Wilson taking up a lot of extra salary cap and maybe the offense being a little bit different, my thought was it's maybe a little bit less likely, even though the Payton says he'd like to have him back. Do you have any thoughts about Melvin Gordon? Because it really, I mean, Javonte Williams is going in the first round of these fantasy drafts. And as far as dynasty drafts, he's going in like the top three or four running backs. As people are assuming that there's going to be no Melvin Gordon there as soon as next season.
Yeah, I would say it's less likely. It never shut the door on anything. I mean, we could go down the hallway, but Melvin's my neighbor, actually. So we could go down the hallway.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's actually a super nice dude, right?
Yeah, he's like the nicest guy in the world. Yeah, we could go down and we could go down. In fact, he DM'd me a little bit earlier, and I was like, man, I'm in bed. I'm not walking down there. I'm just like, he's like, you know. But I'm like, no, man, I think it's less likely. I mean, like, it's not impossible. I would just say improbable right now. The market for him's been a little softer than he wanted, you know, and that's understandable. But I still think that that his price tag is too high for the Broncos relative to what they want. Like George Payton got out there and talked about, you know, we've talked to Kareem Jackson, Melvin Gordon, and that was basically one call to each of their agents. I mean, you can say you talked to him at that point, but are you really talking to him? You know? So, you know, I think I don't think he's back in Denver. I mean, he doesn't think he's going to be back in Denver, but you know, never say never. If everything pans out, you know, if everything, you know, they don't get a running back in the draft and his market's soft, maybe he comes back on like a 1 year deal, that kind of thing. But as it sits right now, I would say 85-15, he's not back.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes sense. And of course the Broncos, you know, you mentioned the draft. I'm just looking on Tankathon right now. It looks like the Broncos don't pick until the very dead last pick of the second round at 64. With that being said, it's a pretty deep running back class. Do you think that if Melvin were to move on, that the Broncos would look running back? And then if so, I mean, probably it looks like how many day two picks do they have? So they have three day two picks.
They have five picks inside the one, inside 120, inside the first 120, they have five picks.
All right, yeah, because they have the two fourth rounders at 115 and 116. Right. So that's kind of running back territory. Do you think, as far as this class, with, you know, some of these guys are going to be early day three guys? Do you think they would? I guess on the depth chart right now, it's just, what is it? It's just all they have is Mike. Is it just Mike Boone? Is there anybody else?
Mike Boone, I think they've got a futures deal or practice squad futures deal with DeMario Crockett, but beyond
DeMario Crockett.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's about it. Crockett's a non-factor. I mean, like, you know, I hate to down a guy, but he's a non-factor. I do believe they'll draft one. Keep your eye on, like, Hassan Haskins out of Michigan. You know, he's one that I know they're bringing in for a workout, so keep your eye on that one. But, you know, overall, it's going to be the Javonte Williams show, and you know, they like Mike Boone a lot, so he's going to get worked into the rotation. He was injured last year, and honestly, the thing last year, like, you know, I mean, I got on Twitter, and I'm always talking about Melvin, and like, everybody knows he's my neighbor, but like, Melvin was a better situational runner. Melvin did not take zero or negative yard runs. Javonte Williams did at like one of the highest clips in the NFL. 25% of his carries went for zero or negative yardage, one out of every four carries. So that was one of those things that, like, Javonte's got to get a little bit better with the vision. The outside zone switch, the switch to outside zone should help him quite a bit, because he can just kind of run, you know, string the run along and kind of take off. So I expect him to be better at that next year. But he was one of those people who's got to improve that vision a little bit. Melvin was just more reliable at getting you yardage. Now, Javonte had those big sexy runs that all made the highlight reel and all that kind of stuff. And if you get bonuses in your fantasy league for like 20 plus yard runs, things like that, absolutely factor that in for Javonte. But he's still got there's some small, you know, running back craft things that he's got to work on, you know, overall. He's going to get the lion's share. He's going to be 1A guy this year, but there's still a few things that he needs to work on.
I didn't think about there being a switch to outside zone. That's interesting. I think it's good for the offensive line. Isn't that good for guys like, isn't that good for guys like Reisner? It's probably good for a younger guy like Quinn Meinerz.
Garrett Bowles. Garrett Bowles was drafted to be an outside zone tackle, and then they've had a power gap the last 2 years.
That's an interesting thing there, because it's the new, it's a new head coach, it's a new offense, it's a new it's a whole new day with, we probably buried the lead just because Javonte Williams is the biggest deal for fantasy, but the biggest deal in real football, and honestly a huge deal for fantasy is the Russell Wilson stuff. Did you think it was going to be Russell Wilson, or did you believe it was going to be Aaron Rodgers? Did you believe any of this was going to happen?
Offline, I got to have a conversation with you about this, but
okay.
I knew it was going to be one of the two. Back last October, when this idea started formulating for the Broncos that Russ Wilson was going to be Plan B, they were really excited about it. George Payton was really excited about it, but they still thought the Rodgers thing was going to happen. They got tipped off right around the Senior Bowl that Aaron Rodgers was going back to Green Bay, and that's when they pivoted to Russ and all that kind of stuff. So, I wanted Russ personally. So for me, like, I'm happy, but I, you know, there's some people that might still have been on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon.
How do you feel like Russell Wilson fits into what Nathaniel Hackett does philosophically and schematically?
I think he fits in great, because Nathaniel Hackett is just going to make the offense what Russ Wilson wants. So
is that the deal, you think? I mean, that's just kind of because that's, I mean, he's used to catering his scheme around a transcendent quarterback recently.
Yeah. It's really interesting, because Hackett ran K-Gun in Buffalo and Jacksonville, right? When he was an offensive coordinator that called the plays, he ran K-Gun. So then he goes to Green Bay, where he doesn't call any plays. And he's really just responsible for the script. And Matt LaFleur calls the plays. and they switch to outside zone, and they're not running like K-gun. It's West Coast outside zone. They're not really running like K-gun stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like, Hackett is well-versed in, like, a variety of offenses, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing stuff that we haven't really seen before. Not just outside zone, but, like, out of the pistol. I think you're going to see tempo. I think you're just going to have, like, some interesting different quirks in this offense, because it's such an amalgamation of a bunch of different concepts than just a traditional West Coast outside zone, like what they've traditionally run in Denver under, like, Mike Shanahan.
Do you see it as being a system that can – as far as the featured players, we know that in Green Bay – there was that mind meld between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. And we can just kind of extrapolate to say, well, Russell Wilson kind of coming down to Denver, it really helps Courtland Sutton. It feels like, you know, people who play fantasy are much more interested now in Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and stuff like that. Is there one of those guys who you think might stand to benefit more from having a quarterback like Russ under center?
I think it's Jeudy, just because, you know, Teddy Bridgewater couldn't get him the ball, you know, that was the thing. Teddy Bridgewater just could not get him the ball where he needed. So at the end of the year, they were relegated the second half of the season, Jerry Jeudy to being the fake jet sweep guy. And it was embarrassing to watch. I think Tim Patrick is underrated. KJ Hamler's going to have to show he can stay healthy, but he's the vertical guy. Like, you know, and then, you know, we talked about Sutton. Tim Patrick is the third down guy, sure-handed guy, doesn't drop anything. Courtland's got to return to form. That's the thing. He's got to return to who he was before that injury, and he hasn't done that yet. Last year, by the way, Teddy Bridgewater didn't throw a touchdown to a receiver after the Dallas game. Did not throw one to a receiver.
I remember thinking – I remember there being that statistic out there about certain the weeks in a row that there hadn't been a receiving touchdown to a wide receiver for the Broncos.
But Drew Lock came in the Cincinnati game where he hit Tim Patrick. That was the next time a receiver caught a touchdown for the Denver Broncos, which was like three games left in the season. So they're expecting a lot more receiver productivity than they have had the last couple of years between Lock and Bridgewater. The Broncos receivers are probably going later than they should nationally in your national drafts. I mean, locally in Denver, people are picking up on it, but it depends on what you're looking for, what your league rewards points for. You know, if it's going to be a PPR thing, if it's going to be a touchdown thing, you might want one of the different guys. I think Jerry Judy's going to get a lot of volume work. I think the touchdown guys are probably going to be Sutton and Patrick. But I think KJ Hamler could sneak in there and kind of be the Tyler Lockett if he can stay healthy as well. So you gotta kind of keep your eye on training camp when you're watching these Broncos receivers. As far as the tight end position goes, Albert Okwuegbunam is going to be the sleeper this year. He's the number one tight end now that Fant's gone, and he is absolutely an athletic marvel. So you'll want to keep your eye on that. It might be a guy that if you see him available in the later rounds, you might want to snag him as a backup tight end, and you never know. He could take off for you, or he could be plug and play, and you could trade your other tight end.
Yeah, because I saw that. I mean, did they bring in – they brought in somebody that's like a blocking – was it Tomlinson?
Eric Tomlinson, and he's there to be a sixth offensive lineman. Eric Tomlinson, he's not a pass-catching tight end.
Yeah, so, yeah, Albert O, and he's going. I mean, I just took Albert O in the 16th round of an underdog best ball draft just now. I don't think it's kind of sneaky right now before people – start really thinking about this stuff. I think by the time people are having their fantasy drafts, Albert O is going to be kind of a sexy late round sleeper pick for sure. I just kind of want to get back to Courtland Sutton, because like, it just feels like, Ben, whenever you talk about, I mean, I just know you. I've known you now for Jesus. I've known you for like a decade. And when I talk to you about these players, it feels like you're kind of down on Sutton. Is it just because he's going to be 20? He's gonna be 27 already. Do you really feel like last year? I mean, you're the one around practice all the time. I just kind of wondered, like, maybe he was back, but just the offense was throttling. And did you really think that last year he was struggling to get back to his original form physically?
It felt like he didn't believe in himself. It felt like he did not believe in his legs coming back off that injury. It just felt like it. He wasn't the same player. Now, I think he can get back there. I absolutely think he can get back to where he needs to be. But he just, like, last year was not – and he's too hard a worker and too smart a guy. Like he was just not where he needed to be. And it felt like it was mental. It felt like he didn't believe in his body coming back up off that injury. The fact that, I mean, like Teddy Bridgewater could get the ball to him, you know, like, cause you know, Cortland Sutton's the slant guy. He's not the vertical threat. He's a big athlete, but he's more a contested catch guy than anything else, you know? And the catch radius is the floor to the sky. So, you need somebody that's just going to put the ball out there for him, let him go make a play. Teddy wasn't that guy. Teddy was too hyper careful. And so I think the combination of having Russ back and another year back off that injury, I think he'll be fine.
Did you, just one other thing about that. Did you notice that, Jerry Jeudy might've been, because you read some of the next gen stats and some of the PFF stuff about, you know, separation distance and stuff like that. People always talk. I mean, Jerry Jeudy had some issues with drops and stuff, but people always talk about the fact that if you look at some of the advanced statistics, like the way he was separating and the way that he was getting open was second to none in the league. Is that something that got talked about around the facility and the fact that maybe, you know, I mean, if he's just got somebody who can just get the, who some, just somebody who can deal a little bit better, just deal this ball to him. Was that kind of the feel around there? Does that match up with what some of these advanced analytics were saying as far as his separation?
No, that's absolutely it. Xavier Howard called him the best route runner he'd ever seen as a rookie. And he is that guy. I mean, he just, he's a guy shaking big. Now the problem is he got hurt last year, like middle of the season. And he, you know, so he was coming back off that ankle sprain and that was a problem for him a little bit. And they were using him as the dummy guy on the fake jet sweep that they never handed the ball off to. It was weird. Like Pat Shurmur just totally just, you know, he was like, taking a Ferrari and adding a boat anchor to it. It was the weirdest thing. I think that Jerry Jeudy's primed for a kind of a breakout season. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, 808 out of him. I wouldn't be surprised to see more. I think he's going to be more of the between the 20s guy. And if he breaks one, that's where he gets the touchdowns. I think the end zone guys are going to be Patrick Sutton and Okwuegbunam. But I think Jerry Jeudy, if you're a PPR guy, if you're a volume yardage league, he's the guy and he's going to get you bonus touchdowns when he breaks some.
So just putting a gun to your head here. Not for real. We don't have any violence stuff around here, but just, you know, if you putting your feet to the fire, if you had to choose one in a fantasy league, and let's just say you can't do the PPR hedging stuff. Let's say it's a half point PPR league. Would you, and you're on the clock and both Sutton and Jeudy are available to you. Which one would you take?
Oh man. Probably Jeudy just for the upside for the long ball, you know, kind of stuff. Okay. But you know, I think they're pretty close. I you know, honestly, I think that all three
they're Broncos going at right around the same. They're going at practically the exact same spot.
So yeah, I would say all two of them are probably. It really depends on the type of league that you're in. You know, if you're in just a generic base stats, you know, kind of whatever thing, I might go with Sutton. But if you're PPR, I might go with. I might go with Jeudy, and I think Jeudy, if you're getting like the 40 plus yard catch bonus stuff like that, I'd probably go with Jeudy.
Would you rather pick take a sixth round pick in fantasy on one of those guys, or just get Tim Patrick or KJ Hamler with the last pick in your draft?
I feel like all three Broncos 1 through 3 are probably like eighth round guys. If we're being honest, I think that's right around.
Who is the three? Patrick.
Yeah, I think the eighth round is probably the sweet spot. I think Tim Patrick's gonna eat into some of Sutton's stuff. That's the other reason I'm worried about Sutton, because they're both gonna play on the outside. They're both big body contested guys, and I think there's gonna be a kind of a split between them. And I think they're gonna hurt each other. But I think Jeudy's probably the guy you get the edge to, and you hope that he doesn't have the dropsies. But I think the eighth round is probably the spot for that. You know, you need to get your quarterback. You need to get a couple other things in between there. And I think that those Broncos receivers, if you're looking for it on a national draft. Now, if you're here in Denver, those drafts, they're going to go sooner than that. But if you're on a national draft, eighth round and one of them's there, I think that's the point to start snapping.
Well, I mean, what basically Roster Watch Nation, what Ben is saying here, if I could translate into fantasy stuff, is that Tim Patrick is an absolute screaming value right now, because you can get him for free. And he's saying like he would take him somewhere around the point he would take Sutton or Jeudy, which is it is miles apart as far as ADP. We're talking about a 14th or 15th round ADP versus a sixth round ADP. So,
right. Tim Patrick, I'll tell you this, like Tim Patrick has what, one drop over the last three seasons, maybe two. You know, he's a ball maggot. So he's one of those guys that is an absolute steal where he's getting taken.
And they give him a contract.
Yeah. Him and Sutton both got contracts last year. So,
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, that's great about Tim Patrick. Again, we're here with Ben Albright at Albright NFL. Bunch of good Broncos stuff here. Ben, I am well aware of your time here. Just wanted to just do a couple quick hits. One quick hit from each other AFC West team. I'll get a prediction from you, and then we'll get the hell out of here. What about the Chiefs? I mean, how big a deal is it that they lost Tyreek Hill? Do you expect Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, any of those guys, if you were playing in a fantasy league or just if you were looking at one of these dudes to hop up and really produce, is there one of those guys that you would kind of look at that's being put into a new situation where they're attached to Patrick Mahomes, which I guess for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's been with a really good quarterback this whole time. You know, I guess you can't really say the exact same thing about Juju, who's been with the bad Steelers quarterbacks and Big Ben towards the end of his career.
Yeah, the thing about the Chiefs is wide receiver two tends to get ignored. You know, when they had Sammy Watkins, it was the same thing. Kelce is wide receiver two on that team, right? So and Valdes-Scantling doesn't have the cuts that Tyreek Hill had. He's more long speed. He's had an issue with drops. I don't think the Chiefs are done at receiver. Would not be surprised to see them acquire Brandon Cooks. I'm not 100% on that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. That would change the dynamic. So I steer clear of that. Outside of Kelce, I'm kind of steering clear of the Chiefs wide receiver situation until the dust settles.
Okay, fair enough. And that's interesting about Cooks, because the Broncos were idiotically saying that he was a guy they wanted to build around. I'm like, build around a 30-year-old guy that's one concussion away from retirement? It's like so wild. Okay, what about the Chargers? They bring back Mike Williams. They still have Keenan Allen around there. There was a lot of excitement about Joshua Palmer maybe taking a next step this year. But do you think Mike Williams coming back is going to keep that from happening to where they're going to still stay focused on those two, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Ekeler? That's the offense.
Yeah, I think that's the offense. And I think the other thing, too, to remember is the Chargers don't have an offensive line. Their offensive line might be the worst in the league. So if you're looking for vertical threats out of the Chargers, that's going to be a problem unless Herbert can just break tackles and buy time. So for me, the money play is Keenan Allen. Get the PPR guy, get the possession guy that's going to get a peppered with targets because there's not time for anything else to develop and get downfield. And he knows how reliable Keenan Allen is. So I think that's the play. I know they just paid Williams and all that kind of stuff, but to me, Keenan Allen's the play.
Okay, and then for the Raiders, they bring in Davante Adams. I'd like to just hear Ben Albright's take on Davante Adams, Derek Carr. How does that go, and how much differently do we need to view Davante Adams if we're playing fantasy football? And we know that he's no longer connected with Aaron Rodgers, but he is going to a guy who he does have a, you know, I guess kind of in this ancient college connection with.
Well, that's what I say. I'm going to call them peaches and herb because it's reunited and it feels so good. Right. I think you ding Davante Adams in terms of the overall stats that you expect from him, but I think you bump Derek Carr. And I think you look around that offense and you bump some of the other guys, Renfro, Waller, those guys are going to get more one-on-ones because Davante Adams is over there. So I think that the beneficiary, it's beneficial to the Raiders offense. It's beneficial to Carr. It's beneficial to Waller. It's beneficial to Renfro. I don't think it's necessarily beneficial to Adams because Carr's not going to be keyed in on him all the time, the same way Aaron Rodgers was. You know, Aaron Rodgers had tunnel vision with Davante Adams sometimes. I don't think Derek Carr's going to have that even with the relationship they have dating back. So I think it's good for Carr. I think it's good for Renfro especially. And I think it's good for Waller.
Well, one other thing here before I get this prediction for you for the AFC West, because it kind of hit me. You mentioned earlier the thing about Hassan Haskins. Whenever I look at a guy like Haskins, I just was kind of thinking about it. That's a big dude, Hassan Haskins out of Michigan. I think he was 6'2" and almost 230 at the combine. Does that maybe give us a clue of the kind of back that, I mean, do you think that they might be looking for a big back like that? Because I don't know. Do they not view Javonte Williams as somebody who can be just like a big sort of power back like that?
I think they do, but I think they'd like to have two of them. You know, mm-hmm. like that scene from what is it, the Facebook movie or whatever? He's like, I'm 6'5". There's two of me. You know, I think that's kind of the philosophy. You know, it's basic physics. Force equals mass times acceleration, right? And so mm-hmm. if you're a big dude and you can accelerate like that, you got a lot of force coming through that line. You're tough to tackle. And they know, they've seen Javonte and how that can be. You add another big guy like that behind him, and you can spell Javonte with. And now all of a sudden, in the third and fourth quarter, you're looking at an even more effective running back. So I think they've already got their speedster and Mike Boone. I think they've got, you know, he presents a little bit different dynamic, even though he weighs like 220, 215.
He does?
Yeah, Mike Boone's up to like 215, 220.
Dude, yeah. If you'd had me guess how much Mike Boone weighs, I would have told you 195.
Yeah, that's what most people, I think. Yeah, I have to go back and double check that, but I know he was up to 210 last year. So mm-hmm. they were trying to bulk him up a little bit and not lose any speed on him. So we'll see. But yeah, no, I think the Broncos want, I think they want, you know, more of that. I don't think they want three different backs. I think they want kind of complementary skill sets a little bit with, you know, with the backs that they have. And if Javonte, you know, heaven forbid, he comes up injured with a big workload, then you got somebody else you can plug and play right there who's got the size and the speed.
All right. So I can't ask you if the Broncos are going to finish, if the Broncos are going to finish first in the AFC West, but I will ask you this, Ben Albright. Again, Ben Albright at Albright NFL, Roster Watch Nation. You know him, you love him. I'm sure most of you guys follow him already, but if you don't, please go give him a follow at Albright NFL. Great follow for all things NFL. And also you just love to see it with all the haters getting owned over and over again. Who finishes first and who finishes last in the AFC West 2022? If you're making your picks right now before we have the draft, before we have, you know, any kind of rookie mini camps or OTAs or anything, first place, last place.
It's tough. I mean, you know, I mean, you look at this and it's tough to ding Kansas City, but their defense is falling apart and they lost Tyreek Hill. Oh, yeah. I think they take a step back. The Raiders still don't have much of a defense. They got a decent pass rush, but they don't have much of a defense. The Chargers look good on paper, but they inevitably find ways to fall apart. So, you know, I'm going to say Denver and Kansas City at the top, Chargers third, and the Raiders fourth.